You've been listening to the Total Education Show with Neil Haley. Next up, Getting There with Paul Puckett. Hi, this is Paul Puckett, your host of Getting There. Welcome to this afternoon's broadcast, and thank you for joining in the conversation. Very excited today to have a guest. Master Chef Craig Chasky will be joining us around 2:20 to talk a little bit about some of the projects he's working on, nutritious and delicious, quite frankly. I've had some. Methods of preparing meals, the difference between alkalinity and acidity and what that might mean to your diet. And we'll probably get some very good tips from him this afternoon. I'm looking forward to the conversation. Hope you are. This is Getting There, the money show that's about your life. Last week, in introducing the concept of the show, we talked a little bit about the importance of life and your time versus your money. You know, it's interesting. I guess you could call it synchronicity. Sometimes we think about things, we talk about things, and then we see a billboard, see a post on Facebook, have a conversation with someone, and they bring up something that's been on our mind. And I had that experience since the last show. Somebody put a $1 bill on Facebook, but it had a different back than a normal $1 bill would have. So it just had a quote from a fellow you've probably heard about, Henry David Thoreau. I loved his Walden Pond. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. And Henry David Thoreau said the following: the price of anything is the amount of life you exchange for it. I can't think of a better message that I want you to have and to think through, whether you're struggling to figure out how to pay next month's mortgage, or you have a lot, but it concerns you. You're worried you're going to lose it. You're worried you're going to make a bad decision. You're worried about hiring the wrong advisor who may give you bad advice, or worse, having the money disappear. And so I'd like to open the show today with a story. It's not related to what Chef Chasky is going to be talking to us about, Chef Craig, I should say. Later in the show, but it's related to what we chatted about last week about when you hire an advisor, it's important to know who they are. And this is a true story. It's in my book, actually, Investophobia, Overcome Your Deepest Investment Fears, because the people that were involved were not just run-of-the-mill people. They were very savvy professionals who had done very well in their career. And a group of them, several couples, more than two or three couples, went down to an island in the Caribbean for a nice vacation. If you're anywhere other than Florida and Hawaii right now, maybe California, you can probably picture yourself sitting somewhere in the Caribbean. So they went down to the Caribbean as a group, and they had a ball. They bumped into a nice lady, and she invited them to join her on her sailboat. And it was not a small sailboat. We're looking maybe in the range of 40 to 50 feet. And they spent the afternoon in the Caribbean with the beautiful, warm, tropical breezes, enjoying fine wine on this sailboat. She prepared lobster for them, and they chatted on the back of the boat. And they, you know, asked, "Wow, it's so awesome that you are down here and you have this boat. Thank you so much for inviting us. By the way, what do you do?" And she said, "Well, I'm an investment advisor. I manage money for an exclusive clientele." And needless to say, as the conversation continued, you know, it occurred to them, wow, you know, she must be really good. I mean, wouldn't you think so? She's got this great sailboat. She's obviously able to take the time to sail around the Caribbean, U.S.-based, in a different state than they lived, but it was apparent she must be really, really good at what she does. So it didn't take too long before they started talking to her about, well, can you manage ours, some of ours? And reluctantly, she agreed. So over a period of years, they invested several million dollars each. with her. And the money, when they got their statements, this is about a decade ago, and the returns of the market were not what they have been recently. It was while the market was not doing that well. But their returns were very good. They didn't lose any money. They got statements showing how much their money had grown. And they were all very happy at the decision they'd made. Well, as you may recall, not too many years ago, real estate had a bit of a correction, which is the professional's method of saying it fell in value. And one of her investors from this trip that had hired her on the back of that sailboat decided, I think I'll take some of my gain from my investment portfolio, and I'm going to buy some real estate with that. I'm going to let her keep my original investment. I'm just going to take the gain, and I'm going to buy some property. So he called her up, and she cautioned him, you know, whether he should do that or not, but ultimately agreed to send him a check representing all the gains he had experienced in the account. Well, a few weeks passed. He still had not seen the check. He began to worry about it a little bit. Had it gone to the wrong address? You know, where was the check? He called, and she said, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought that had gone out. I'll send it now by FedEx. A couple days passed. He still did not have the check. So he and one of the other investors decided that given the amount of money they'd invested and given the fact that his check had not arrived, they would drive roughly 560 miles to her office and pick up the check, and that they would do this without letting her know. So they drove to her office address, and it turned out not to be an office, but a house. As a side note, many investment advisors work out of their house, but they generally let their clients know, hey, I work out of my house. In this case, they were expecting to see an office building, and they saw a house, and they got a little bit alarmed. But then, you know, they remained calm, and they knocked on the door, and eventually it was answered. What they found was that she had never invested the money for them, except in things that she wanted. In essence, she took their money. There was no check to write, and if she'd had a check to write, it would have been a personal check, and it would have come from an account that really didn't have any money in it. So as you're listening to this, you may wonder, why would an investment professional, even if he's on a money show that focuses on living, tell me this? Well, because that may be a fear you have, and there are two steps, just two, that they could have taken to prevent this from ever occurring. And so I want to make sure if you're a do-it-yourselfer who's doing it yourself out of fear, that you take the time to take the two steps that prevent an advisor from taking advantage of you or from somebody who's not really an advisor telling you they are. Investment advisors, as I mentioned last week, are regulated by either the SEC or the state in which they are based. The difference, by the way, is SEC advisors, this changes occasionally, have at least $100 million in assets that they manage. Most investment advisors are between 20 and 50. But the bigger investment advisors, 100 million plus, are regulated by the SEC. The rest of us are regulated at the state level. But no matter where the actual regulators are, the SEC, that's the state, the Securities and Exchange Commission, or the State Department of Securities where they reside. The Securities and Exchange Commission always maintains every single investment advisory firm, registered investment advisor firm, and investment advisor representative who's currently licensed to do that. All you have to do whenever you're talking to an investment advisor and considering placing your funds with them, or if you just want to check out whoever you're with periodically, which I recommend, go to www.sec.gov, that's .gov, click the education tab, and then check or click research an investment advisor or firm. When you get to that page, all you have to do is put in the name of the firm or the name of the individual. If they are registered, which means licensed to manage your money, licensed to perform the function of an investment advisor, you will get a link. Well, first of all, they'll appear on the site. You can click their name or their firm name, and it will take you to the Form ADV Part 1. There are two parts to a Form ADV. These are regulatory papers filed by everybody who functions as an investment advisor with the SEC. And you can then read about their firm, how they charge their fees, how many clients they have, how much money they manage, and other details. The Form ADV Part 2 is an option further down, which is how they describe their firm from a regulatory standpoint to potential investors. If you go to that site and the person you're talking with or the firm name they give you is not there, then they are not registered or licensed or in any capacity where you should consider hiring them. It's www.sec.gov. You click the education tab and then research an investment advisory firm or investment advisor and just put in their name. Had the people who had gone to the Caribbean, they had a blast, simply done that, they would have not seen her name. And then they could have asked her, hey, listen, you mentioned being an investment advisor. Did you mean you're actually a broker? Because that's a different website, although it will still appear. The individual's name will still appear on the SEC site. But they could have asked, you know, give us an explanation. You know, where is your firm registered? Commodities traders, for instance, are at a different website as well. But an investment advisor who's going to charge you a fee to manage money must be registered with either their Department of Securities in their state or the SEC, and it's easy to find out. So that's one way they could have prevented this from occurring. Now, you may be thinking, well, Paul, that sounds pretty simple. Well, I mean, it is. But that doesn't completely prevent a real investment advisor from abusing their privilege and stealing money. There's a second thing you can do, which is also very easy. And I'll give you an example with my own firm, but this is very common with most investment advisory firms, independent investment advisory firms. You need to have a third party custodian. A third party custodian, gee, thanks, Paul. I know exactly what that is. No, unless you're in the industry, that probably sounded like three words, you know what they mean, but not in conjunction. Here's what a third party custodian is. When you're a client of an investment advisory firm, using the firm I work with as an example, Q1 Advisors, you will get monthly or quarterly statements showing exactly what fees were charged, to what account they were charged, how they were calculated. And you might even get performance reports from your investment advisory firm. But the statements you get for the money that firm handles don't come with the name of the, well, the name appears, but they aren't prepared or sent by the investment advisory firm. They're sent by a third-party custodian, also known typically as a bank, institutional bank relationship, or a brokerage firm. So for instance, we use TD Ameritrade. Other firms that manage the third-party custodian relationship for investment advisors include Schwab, Fidelity. There's a group called Pershing. There are hundreds of them. But here's the reason why that is critical. If the investment advisor has custody, and by the way, that shows in the Form ADV as well, do you have custody of your client's assets or not? You can see a yes or no box. You want to work with investment advisory firms where the box that is checked is no, we do not custody our client assets. Why is that important? Well, if I have the money and it's in my business name, there's not a whole lot other than honesty and ethics, but from a double check standpoint, not a whole lot stopping me from sneaking into that account. And I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that I would do that, but there are people who would. If it's a third party custodian, where all our assets are custodied, and many advisors, most advisors, work this way. I can't get it. I can call TD Ameritrade and say, Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so or a company wish to make a withdrawal, but a third-party custodian will only send money out of the account on the instructions of an investment advisor to two places, just two. The address of record, which is also where they send your statement, or they will wire money to your account, which only you can authorize. Now, an investment advisor can charge fees to an account, but every custodian out there will look and see that the fee is roughly in line with what it should be. For instance, 0.5%, 1%, whatever that number may be. We'll talk about fees on the show. But the main point is the two ways to prevent an investment fraud are by both checking SEC.gov to make sure they are registered, or they're registered with the state, it'll still show up on SEC. And then once you've done that, going to the Form ADV that the SEC shows and seeing, do they custody the assets of their clients or do they have a separate custodian? Is the box checked? No. If you know they're licensed as advisors and you know they use a third-party custodian, then you also know it is extremely unlikely that they'll have access to steal from you. Very important thing to know. We'll talk about fees in a future episode. That's also important. But I tell you what, we're going to take a short break. And after that break, we're going to welcome Master Chef Craig Chasky to talk about what it's like to be a chef, how to design a meal. I'll probably be asking him, hopefully he's not listening yet, how do you work in a kitchen and you're around food all the time and you stay in such great shape? I personally would like to know. So we will take a break and come back. And in a few minutes, we'll have on Chef Craig Chasky. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman, something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right, but don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cool time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Paul Puckett. As you may know, I love coffee. My friends would tell you I don't love coffee. It's an obsession, and not just any coffee. Espresso. If you're in the Bradenton area, one of the jewels of Bradenton is Old Main Street, and you'll find a coffee shop, B-Town Coffee, with a great alley and awnings and fans to keep you cool in the summer and in the shade, free Wi-Fi, and quite frankly, the best hot dog in town. Stop by. You'll enjoy B-Town Coffee. The wonderful thing about radio is the number of people behind the scenes that help you with the engineering and that make sure that things work. I've got a lot of faith in those, and I want to thank Don at bbsradio.com for engineering today's show. I understand we have Chef Craig Chasky on the line. Let me give a brief bio. I met Chef Craig a few years ago at an event down in Sarasota. And, you know, you go out to events, people invite you, and you don't know what to expect. And he prepared something with cooking with essential oil. And it was unbelievable. So we met later, Culinary Institute trained. He's going to tell you a little bit about his background. But Chef Craig, if you can hear me, welcome to Getting There.
Hey, Paul. Good to be on with you.
Glad to have you. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. You've got a pretty interesting background.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize I'm 175 years old. I'm just very well preserved. And a lot of it has to do with the oils in my regimen of good lifestyle. I had Lyme disease back in the 70s, and basically almost lost my life, and had gone through the whole gamut of the medical field with antibiotics and destroyed my intestinal flora totally. I was basically, in a nutshell, on my hands and knees, hoping that something would come along, and had the blessings of a doctor from Europe that had a rhizome, R-H-I-Z-O-M-E, which is root-derived, and created a tincture for me that I put under my tongue. And basically, in about 6 months, my cells were fortified. These were pure phytonutrients, which are essential oils that were indigenous that penetrated the cell wall. And when you have Lyme, you have a spirochete, and you pretty much carry it all your life. So you have to fortify yourself in order to rebound and stay healthy. So I've always cooked with food, 45 years in the culinary arts, graduated at CIA in 50. And got the bumper sticker, the T-shirt, and the keychain, and doing major radio on NPR and, you know, TV and all that stuff. But now I'm more paying it forward and helping people fortify themselves that have challenges or just want to maintain a healthy, optimal life.
Well, I want to go back to something you said at the very beginning. You were 175 years old. If my daughters were listening to this show, they'd say, "Craig, Chef Craig, that's not old," because Dad has always said that he's 8,632, brought here by the mothership, long before civilization. So they'd be happy to know there's somebody else out there that has a humorous approach to age. But you may have answered the next question I was going to ask you is, what do you find most rewarding? But it sounds like you're starting to move in a different direction, helping other people, I assume, with some of the nutritional stuff that you've learned.
Absolutely. You know, I had a 4-star restaurant, Paul, in the Berkshires, and when you get an A on your report card, there's not a lot of room for a B or a C. So I did everything I could to maintain that expectation of my customers and patrons that would come in and pretty much, would want the best for their money. So in this day and age, whether you have a product or service, that's pretty much what you try to do when you've reached the top of your ladder. And I was introduced, I'd always worked with herbs. I had a 30 by 70 organic garden at my restaurant. And, I utilize a lot of the herbs and plants and what have you to enhance my cuisine. What I didn't realize was when you use a certified pure therapeutic grade indigenous food digestible essential oil that can be consumed, because not all of them out there can be consumed. If you study and look at the labels when you're out in the health department area of your favorite store, you'll notice it'll say not for internal use. That means it's been adulterated or enhanced with perfume. So when you use a pure oil that I utilize, it's 50 to 70 times the strength of herbs. So, when you make a normal sauce, you would just, like grandma did, just, jigger it out till, you wanted it to be really powerful. And instead, here I can add one drop of pure essential oil that might cost me 4 to 9 cents. And enhance a 5-gallon vessel of marinara sauce, because I already made the mistake in putting in too much and it was too late, and then I had to throw it out. So, I utilize an amazing essential oil line, doTERRA, which means gift of the earth. And, we source it from countries, for instance, the dog biscuits. I call them dog biscotti that I make are permeated with frankincense, lemongrass, and melaleuca. And you can ask me about those at some point. But that's what I do.
Well, you know, the amazing thing, I bumped into, it's doTERRA is how it's pronounced, isn't it?
That's correct. Gift of the Earth in Latin.
I bumped into doTERRA oils at a friend's house. They happened to be in the restaurant business themselves, and they had gotten really the whole, well, I don't know how many are actually produced by doTERRA, but I think they had a box of 80 different or 60 different essential oils. And what surprised me is, you know, I'm gonna pick lemon. I like the flavor of lemon, particularly in warm weather. You know, when you can squeeze a lemon onto a dish, or you can add lemon juice, or in the case of Italian, maybe some fresh basil, has a great flavor. But I was completely unprepared for how, for lack of a better word, vibrant the dishes I've had were. Somebody who knew what they were doing, because I think there is a technique. It's so easy to put too much if you cook with essential oil. And I think people look at the price too, and they think this little bottle is going to last two meals. And in reality, it's a drop a bottle, you know, a drop a meal. I mean, but I was really amazed that did you find when you, I don't know how long essential oils have been around, but when you discovered these as part of Lyme disease and getting a tincture, and you had the organic garden and you fresh picked herbs, and then you began cooking with the essential oils, is it just my taste buds, or is it really a much more vibrant, alive flavor?
You know, Paul, I'd like to address a couple of things that you mentioned. I appreciate you asking those questions because they're of amazing value and importance. Essential oils have been around since Egyptian times. And the thieves would steal the essential oils and leave the gold and silver behind. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yeah, that is amazing.
And so, you know, the permeation of food with essential oils is just enhancing and also therapeutic, because what it does is it adds value to what you're currently doing, and an astronomical proportions. You know, lemon from pure lemon oil from Sicily, and when doTERRA approached the family in Sicily, right, from what I heard, the father, great grandfather, dropped to his knees and almost started crying because he realized how important you know, someone who sourced them out realized what lemon could do. Lemon is the only fruit that starts as an acid and turns into alkalinity in your body, and on a pH factor, you know, that's very important. As we know, cancer can't exist in an alkaline-based body. So lemon is antiviral, antibacterial. You know, it has amazing values in a diet. And without making any claims, you know, if you are acid prone, and we are acid prone creatures, we tend to eat more acid than alkalinity. Grandma used to always say, "Eat your vegetables," and she knew why. You know, the lemon is just a wonderful purifier, and also, you know, creates a better lifestyle on a pH level.
And I noticed that when I looked at your website, that you design meals when you're working as a personal chef, and I assume for your own diet, that have a balance of roughly 80% alkaline to 20% acidity. Does that, if, for instance, for someone who is fighting an autoimmune disorder or is on the drugs they give you for cancer and everything, is that the balance that gives your body an alkaline balance?
You know, Paul, great question. Our bodies are designed to heal themselves. And if we put the right thing in them and, you know, I believe in moderation and also rotation. I always say we become allergic to what we crave. And let's get real. We all cheat. I cheat. You know, I don't have a bag of chips on scotch taped under my bed. But, you know, there's certain things that I like. but I do it in moderation, and I make up for it. So, you know, to answer your question, it's just really, really important to fortify yourself as much as you can without being too fanatical, because our bodies also naturally need to build resistance. So, you know, the pathogens and the outside forces in our environment, our workspace, and the light we work under, and the air we breathe in. And I always say, you know, in Florida, if your house is 10 years older, you probably have mold. And mold spores, of course, are very, very harmful. So I diffuse the oils. So that's one application to inhale it aromatically, breathe it in.
Diffusing would be, for people that may not know exactly what that means, diffusing is aromatherapy. You're putting the oil into the air.
Exactly, and it's going into your skin. You know, anything you put on your skin, all these lotions we use, and, you know, people can't see me, but I'm bald, so, you know, I don't have a problem with the tops down and the wind's blowing. But, you know, I use lotion, too, and anything we use, so I use a carrier oil, like fractionated coconut oil, as a carrier oil, and my olive oil that is actually launching this this weekend is so pure it can be put on my skin. And so back to the coconut oil, when you're using the essential oils topically, the fractionated coconut oil disperses quicker, and you can actually hit a larger surface area, like on the bottom of your feet, which is the largest porous area of your body. These particular doTERRA oils permeate into your bloodstream in about 5 to 7 minutes, and pretty much, you know which direction to go because of their medicinal value. And then the other application, where I take it a step further, being a culinary chef, is I permeate foods and enhance them and add value to cuisine.
You know, it's you brought up the extra virgin olive oil. That's one of the reasons I saw your announcement about that. Did you pick the label I saw, I believe, on Facebook, that is the Craig Chasky with the you had unreal hair. You know, I don't know if you shaved it off for fun. You know, you're in great shape now. But did you pick the label where people will see you as you were when you had the restaurants up in the Berkshires?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I had a 200-year-old farmhouse. I'm raising my daughter on my back. You know, she used to go out in the dining room on my back, and she would say, yuck, and that wasn't a good thing for my customers, because that was one of the first words that she, you know, learned tasting foods in the kitchen. And now she can, you know, provide for herself at 26 years old and be third in the nation powerlifting. I don't mess with her, but when she was raised on my back, you know, it's kind of interesting because I had a mustache back then. I had hair back then. I'm looking at the label right now. And that's how I spent quality and quantity time with her. And I chose that picture for the label because it reminds me of the stress I had in my life. You know, I have many people coming up to me today and saying, oh, it'd be great to invest in a restaurant, Craig. Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, you have to really be passionate about what you do for it to be fun. And I always say, if you're cooking when you're angry, your food doesn't come out too well, so be careful. But I always have fun when I'm cooking, so my food, thank God, comes out pretty darn good. But, you know, the picture, just looking back at it, reminds me of the lifestyle I had back then. And then, you know, the 6 months after that picture was taken, I found out I had Lyme disease. I had it actually a year and a half before I found out. And, you know, this oil I chose from Puglia, Italy, because the trees are 500 to 1,000 years old, and the smoke point, very unusual for an olive, which is the Coratina olive. Paul, that's the queen of the olives in Italy.
Craig, I got to interrupt because I can't believe what you just said. How old are the trees?
500 to 1,000 years old.
And those are the trees the olives are coming off of.
That's correct.
That is amazing. That is amazing. What kind of olive, again? I interrupted you.
It's Coratina, and that's considered in Italy the queen of the olives. When it's stone milled, you have to actually leave the barn because your eyes will tear The polyphenols at harvest are close to 1,100 when it's bottled. For me, unfiltered, it's around 600, which is outrageous. Polyphenols are your antioxidant. And then the smoke point, Paul, very unusual for an olive oil, which usually is about, I would say, 325 to 375. These are 420. So I can grill with this. I can broil with it. I can do a high heat saute. You know, this day and age, most people have electric, and they're always complaining to me that they burn things. Well, this olive oil doesn't lose its properties. And it's also the lowest in acid, which is very, very important. Beautiful color, has a gorgeous finish, almost like a hot finish. So that's really good for circulation, too, on an aerobic level. And I'm going to be launching this Friday in Sarasota at Morton's Gourmet Market.
I was going to ask if it's because Morton's, I think of Steakhouse, if you know, and I'm not in this geographic area, but Morton's Market is near downtown Sarasota, if I recall. They've been around for years. And
that's,
I believe,
right,
your event,
yep.
If I have the date right, it's from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock this Friday afternoon at Morton's Market in Sarasota.
Correct.
What can people expect? I mean, do they need a ticket? Do they just show up? What should they expect if they come for the release of Chef Chasky's Limited Reserve Extra Virgin Olive Oil?
Well, they can expect Easter weekend, you know, and everyone's going to be getting their favorite culinary item to put on the table. The only difference is now you're going to be able to learn, discover, and sample an oil that most people don't know about. Our oil in this country has really been adulterated and bastardized to the point where it's not authentic. I have certification and authenticity on this oil. Also, I call it, it's a limited reserve. Every year it comes out different, just like wines. So what they're going to be able to expect, Paul, is a very nice little tasting of utilizing fresh produce and ingredients from Morton's Gourmet Market. And then what I'll be doing is enhancing the dish with the limited reserve EVOO oil that I've imported. And I'm going to be accentuating it with a fresh basil essential oil from doTERRA that has amazing therapeutic benefits. Basil is, you know, considered the herb of the gods by the Greeks and also the Italians. I don't know who's taken claim for it, but I'll acknowledge both parties, and also the French, you know, will always argue that the Italians stole from us and the French stole from the Italians and vice versa. So I kind of laugh at that.
Whoever wins that argument, it almost doesn't matter as long as we get the basil. That's one of my favorite herbs. So, the only bad thing about you answering that question of what to expect is now I'm wishing it was Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I've had some of your cooking before, so it sounds awesome. I just can't believe the trees. That blows my mind. 500 to 1,000 years ago, I mean, that's before the U.S. was founded.
Right.
Go ahead.
If you go to the redwood forest, you know, those trees are just, you know, and I guess, what do we learn in school? To count the rings? I don't know if there's a chainsaw big enough to go through that.
Well, olive trees are pretty doggone hard, if I recall.
Yeah. And actually, I've been through Portugal, through the Cork area, and, you know, growing up, I didn't know Cork came from a tree, and they were endangered at some point. But, Paul, I just wanted to mention to you, I'm coming out with a gourmet product line. I had it back in the 80s, and I was in Bloomingdale's, Zabar's, Fairway, Grace's, Macy's, Balducci's, all different stores in the Northeast. And now I'm launching it again down here. The difference is I have a team of people that are helping me, so I'm very grateful for that.
Initially, will that just be available here locally? A lot of listeners to BBSRadio.com are across the country, and they're probably sitting there. Either they need to plan a trip to come to Sarasota, or will those things eventually be available in their markets?
They're going to be available in other markets. I'm also going to ship, of course, at a minimum shipping cost and quantity. So that's going to be on my website, probably posting in about 2 to 3 weeks.
But, and your website, if I recall, is www.chefcraig.com.
That's correct, Paul. Thank you.
It's. I see you've got some other events coming up. Are you on ABC's Suncoast The View here locally next week?
Yeah, we're going to be on Suncoast View with Joey Pack and his amazing panel on April 5th. We live shoot at 9 a.m. It will air 4 p.m. on the 5th. And then again, Paul, it will air at 9 a.m. on April 6th, which I believe is Wednesday.
Well, you know, given the internet and technology, for those of you who aren't in the Tampa Bay, Sarasota, Bradenton area, I'm betting if you look up ABC's Suncoast The View, you can probably stream Chef Craig next week and get an idea of exactly what he's talking about. I will tell you, having experienced some of your food, I'm semi-tasting it while we're on the air. I had to ask one other question. I can't resist. All of us, you mentioned you don't have any potato chips hidden under the bed, but you do occasionally splurge. I'd like to tell everybody I don't have any potato chips under the bed because they would never make it there, although I've gotten in better shape. So, having met you, I'm just curious. You are always around a kitchen. You're always around food. You both have the science of food from your Culinary Institute training and the research you've done on the essential oils, and you know the science part. But you also are an artist. You create these dishes. You use the science, but ultimately you're doing it as an art. So with your life having a focus around these things, how the heck do you stay in such great shape?
Well, I've been doing isometrics and isotonics since I was 12 years old. And, there was a device invented in Germany called the Bullworker. And, it's tension against tension, your own body weight against your own body weight. So, I hurt my back many years ago lifting because we were never taught correctly. And, today there's all sorts of scientific, procedures and physical, trainers and therapists and just all these people that have all this knowledge. And back then, if you remember Jack LaLanne, that guy lived to be forever. And, he was a big believer in isotonics, isometrics, and eating a healthy, balanced meal. Our bodies can only absorb so many nutrients. So everything in moderation, a happy lifestyle. My grandfather, God bless him, lived to be 95 years old, and I asked him one day what he attributed his longevity to, and he said a good sense of humor, a cup of tea in the afternoon. And, he was a retired, decorated World War I hero that, basically stayed in shape. So you do something, walk, swim, bike ride. I used to run track professionally. I don't do it anymore because of the shock on my knees, but do something that is going to create aerobic activity and also do some weight bearing to avoid osteoporosis. There's another seminar or a show we could do. I could talk all about our dairy industry and what that's done, in history in our country, and how when I was born there were 500 chemicals in foods. There's 14,000 chemicals in foods today. So very important to be aware, knowledgeable, and at the same time, not too much of a fanatic, because you do need to build resistance.
Well, no, I definitely love to have back on to talk about that. It's sort of funny. I met you after I lost a bunch of weight fighting diabetes. Wow. And, it's an ongoing battle, but for the diabetic side, my main issue, and I it may vary people to people, but there are some commonalities, was my love of gluten. All things gluten. I love, my favorite foods were bread or pasta. And by the way, I really like bread and pasta. And giving that up for 6 months And then at the advice of the doctor, you know, occasionally treating myself to either a gluten-free pasta or something that reminded me of the flavor. I'll tell you what I discovered during that, I'm sure you've cooked with it, is that Italian ancient grain farro, or if that's how you pronounce it, F-A-R-R-O. You know, they gave me the ability to have it. It felt like I was eating risotto and I wasn't. But listen, I really appreciate you joining us today. We would love to have you back sometime. And viewers or listeners, remember you can view Chef Chasky. Did you say March 5th? I mean, April 5th?
April 5th will be on The View, ABC locally here. It's going to be also posted on Facebook. Mainstream on Facebook will be posted on my page, which is under Craig Chasky. And feel free to go on there and friend me and just mention that you listen to this radio show. So I can keep the integrity with you and with the new people, and would love to be able to add to your audience. And I have a lot of respect and admiration for what you do.
I really appreciate it. And we'll write back at you. And just to repeat, your personal website or your professional website that shows all the many things you're working on, www.chefcraig.com. Craig, really appreciate you being on, and best of luck. As a matter of fact, I'm planning on seeing you Friday because I'm not missing out on that olive oil.
Well, you're gonna get a little secret stash for yourself.
Super. I look forward to it. Until then, enjoy the great Florida weather.
Paul, it was a pleasure, and again, thank you, and a very happy holiday.
You as well.
Thank you.
We're going to go to a short break here and come back. And I promised a song last week I had intended to play and didn't get around to. So we're going to fade out here for a minute, and I'll be right back to you in about 90 seconds. Hope you all enjoyed Chef Craig Chasky. He's a great guy, and I love to have him on the show. Next week, I'll be talking about why a chef makes sense on a money show. You know, he was talking about how to put together those meals, the 80% alkaline, 20% acidity balance, focusing on the quality of the ingredients, the quality of the olive oil you use. Well, that's what you do when you put together an investment portfolio as well. But quite frankly, I'd rather hear about it in the context of food. I hope you did as well. You know, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. I want to introduce you to a musician, an actor from the other side of the pond in Britain, in England, and a show that I watch on Hulu called New Tricks. And the theme for New Tricks is just a minute and 15 seconds. It's by one of the actors on the show, and it's got a message in the lyrics that I really think is important to know. So if you're listening to the archive of this show, you're going to have to go to a link, YouTube, New Tricks, theme song, or go to the show's website, because we can't play music in an archive due to royalty reasons. But we can play it live now, and here it is.
It's all right, it's okay, doesn't really matter if you're old and gray. It's all right, I say it's okay. Listen to what I say. It's alright, doing fine. Doesn't really matter if the sun don't shine. It's alright, I say it's okay. We're getting to the end of the day. High tech, low tech, take your pick. Cause you can't teach an old dog a brand new trick. I don't care what anybody says.
At the end of the day,
there's a place that I can't find. Time. Everybody thinks that you passed your prime. It's all right, it's okay. You still got plenty to say.
So, it's all right, isn't it? It's okay. Doesn't even matter if you're old and gray. It's All Right, It's Okay, heading to the end of the day. I recommend both Dennis Waterman's music. Not a lot of it, but what he did is very good. And his show that he stars on with three retired police officers brought back to solve unsolved crimes. And boy, do they have some fun. Great characters, great cast, great writing. I love British TV. So looking forward to the conversation continuing on Getting There next Wednesday at 2 o'clock p.m., 11 p.m. Pacific, here on bbsradio.com. Until then, hope you have a wonderful week, wonderful weekend, and keep in mind the message of the show. Your time is worth much more than any amount of money you will ever have. Make the most of it. Thank you again for joining us here on Getting There Radio.